I've studied bridges this week, and bridges are a universal symbol of strength. And bridges are invitations to cross them and discover new places. So let's take a little survey of how many have gone to some of these great bridges. How many have been to the and crossed the Golden Gate Bridge? I remember the first time I crossed that, it took my breath away. Man, that's amazing. And how about the Brooklyn Bridge? Done that one? First time we went to New York City, I remember crossing the Brooklyn Bridge. Or how about the Old North Bridge? You've done that one. That's near Concord, where the shot fired that's heard around the world took place. Go to Concord. You should check that one. Okay. 7 Mile Bridge. The first time I went across that, I was a teenager. That leads you to the Florida Keys. And I was fascinated. I thought that bridge would never end. 7 Mile Bridge. Now, May and I, when we moved to this area 24 years ago, we were studying the National Geographic before we moved here, and it happened to feature all of the bridges across the Potomac. And we were fascinated by those bridges. Now I've covered every one of them. Now you're saying, okay, so what's your point about the bridges? Well, I'm glad you asked me that. Now here's what none of us have probably ever done. You've probably never done this, been in your car, approached one of these bridges, and then suddenly pull off the road and stop and say, I'm just too afraid to go over. You don't do that. Most of us zoom across those bridges, don't give it a second thought. They've been inspected. Surely it's safe. There is no problem with the bridge because that's what we expect. Except this. Every single bridge that has ever been built has potential failure points in it. Every bridge has frailty in it at some point. And if that bridge is not inspected and repaired and cared for, it will crumble. For example, people on the 8-lane highway, I-35 West Mississippi River Bridge in Minneapolis, at Wednesday, 6:05 p.m., August the 1st, 2007, during rush hour, nobody expected the bridge to give way. But the main trusses collapsed, and people inside 100 vehicles went down 115 feet. 18 construction workers fell with them. 13 people lost their lives. Over 100 people were injured. The National Transportation Safety Board said that the problem was a design error in the bridge. That led to inspection of bridges all across the United States. And providentially, I was thinking about this week on Fox News Thursday night, they did a feature on the 1,800 bridges in our metro area. I think I will stop my car next time. It's not pretty. Not pretty. People are like bridges. We have been designed by God, and it's amazing the capacity that people have and the stress and the weight they can carry year after year. But if we don't get in touch regularly with our divine engineer, then we will have cracks in our structure, we will corrode, and in the right circumstances, we will collapse. We need to constantly go to our divine engineer. So today we're going to take a look at Peter. The Apostle Peter, if anybody thought they were a strong bridge, it was Peter the Rock. You remember his boast? Hey, these other disciples, weak little bridges might deny you. Not Peter. I'm the Rock. I never will fail. I won't give away. You're not washing my feet. I'll take a sword in my hand. I'll even protect Jesus. One of the most famous history of humans who failed like a bridge is Peter. He denied the Lord 3 times. Now, we can't judge him too harshly because when you look at Peter, he's like every one of us. His story is our story. He's a stand-in for us. And every one of us are bridges with frailty points in our structure. Every one of us. And every one of us, because we're sinful and human, need to constantly go to our divine engineer, Jesus Christ, and listen to his inspection report and cooperate with him to deal with our frailty points. So we're going to look at Peter from this angle. How does God deal with our frailties, our failures, our mess ups, the weaknesses in the structure of the bridge of our life? What can we expect him to do? How does he respond to us? And what's so encouraging, what Jesus did to Peter, he also does to us. Now, some of you may be sitting here today saying, I don't need this. I am a strong bridge. Just hang on. You need this. Some of you may be saying, I'm caved. I'm weak, and I'll admit it. I'm at the bottom of the river. You need this for encouragement. There are four things that Jesus will do and constantly do for us, the same four that he did for Peter. We can count on him to do these four. Number one, we can count on him to enlarge our understanding. To enlarge our understanding. John chapter 13 is a fabulous chapter about Jesus celebrating his last Passover with his disciples. Now, put it in context. He has poured his life for 3.5 years into these men, and his objective was to turn them into strong bridges, so strong that people could walk across them and enter into the kingdom of God. They were to be bridge builders and strong bridges. But at this time in their lives, these men were really spiritually ignorant in some key areas. After he'd been 3.5 years with him, Luke tells us at this very time at the Last Supper, the disciples were in a debate with each other over who is the greatest. They were vying for who's going to get the corner office and the perks and the titles and the nameplates. And when you came to the Passover, you normally took a bath and then you walked in your sandals across dirty streets. And usually there was a slave there that would wash your feet. But this was a private gathering. There was no slave. And that was a menial task. So not one of these dudes is daring to stoop to wash anybody's feet because they are ignorant and their bridges are weak about leadership in the kingdom. And so since nobody does it and these bridges are weak in their understanding, Jesus, the divine engineer, goes to work on them. He girds himself about, gets a basin of water, and he starts washing feet. Now here's where Peter comes in. Peter's watching this. I can imagine his judgmental attitude of the guys who let Jesus do this. And he's thinking, he ain't doing it to me. And when he comes to Peter, I can just see him pulling his feet back. Lord, you wash my feet. Lord, in the kingdom, you're the leader. This is beneath you. See, he doesn't understand about kingdom leadership. And then Jesus says to him a key phrase. Look in your notes, John chapter 13, verse 7. What I do, you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter. Peter, I look at the bridge of your life, and you're very weak in your understanding. Hang on, I'm going to build that. Cooperate with me. Now, typical Peter. Now, he's a bridge that sways with the wind. He's over here at one extreme, then he goes to another. Peter, in the strongest language he could possibly use, says, Umi, double negative, forever. Forever, you will never wash my feet, ever. I'm not interested in your reconstruction of me. Jesus responds, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. Here's Peter swinging. Give me a bath. Pour it on. Hose me down. Clean the bridge. One extreme to the other. And then Jesus has to speak to him again. And here's where he's going to enlarge his understanding. Look at verse 10. Jesus said to him, he who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. Now Jesus is about to enlarge his understanding in two areas. First, with salvation. Peter, you and the disciples here, you're clean. You're saved. But you do walk through the world and you get dirty feet. Right now you're full of selfishness and pride and arguing about your greatness. You need your feet washed. You need to be cleansed over and over again. But you are clean. You don't lose your salvation. You just need to keep coming back and getting cleansed. That's the first truth. The second one, Peter, and this is what the parallel gospels tell us. This is what leadership in the kingdom looks like, Peter. It's not the corner office. It's not the big dude. It's not ruling over people. It's getting on your knees and washing feet. That's what kingdom leadership is, Peter. And you need to understand that. What Jesus is doing is shoring up Peter's bridge, trying to enlarge his understanding for leadership in the kingdom. Now, we're just like Peter, aren't we? We're just like him. Because we're fragile in our understanding. And it needs to be constantly, constantly enlarged. And our divine engineer is always on duty. But like Peter, having our understanding enlarged is not automatic. You have to cooperate. Now, I asked myself when I studied this, Lord, how do you wash my feet and enlarge my understanding? And I went through the scriptures and got the answer. I found that Peter in Acts chapter 22, verse 16, gives one of the answers. In Acts 22, 16, Peter himself says, "Wash away your sins by calling upon the Lord." One of the things that I need to learn to gain my understanding is call upon the Lord. Seek him. That's where I'll get my understanding. Peter tells me that's where I get it washed away. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, it says, "Be cleansed by the washing of the water of the word." If I neglect the word of God, I cut off my understanding, and the structure of my bridge of understanding is very weak. I need the word. In Titus 3, 5, it says, "You're washed by the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." So to have my understanding enlarged, I need to cooperate with Jesus, seek him, listen to his word, listen to the Holy Spirit. He'll give me the understanding I need when I need it. What does that look like? It looks like how you respond to what Jesus brings across your bridge. How do you respond? I just got back last night at 11:30 from Orlando because I was down there for a board meeting with Pioneers that sends missionaries out around the world. I love the board. And one of my good friends, Jack Hoy, who runs a glass business, is in big trouble with his business because of the economy. At the last board meeting, I started praying for him. So the first thing I asked is, "How's your business?" And he said, "It's worse than ever." And I said, "Well, how are you responding to that?" And he said, "Here's what's helping me." Now, this come across his bridge. Here's his response. I love this. He said, it's Matthew 14. Jesus is in the boat with the disciples. A huge storm comes. They're terrified. Jesus wakes up. He's sleeping and says, "Where's your faith?" And he said, "Here's what the Lord's been telling me. I've got a storm in my business. Am I more concerned and focused on the storm or who's on the boat with me?" He said, "I'm focusing on Jesus. He's in the boat with me." He said, "The second thing I've learned, instead of, oh, this can't happen, embrace it. God is sovereign. He's in the boat. What am I supposed to learn from this, Lord?" He said, "Actually, I have peace." That's what this looks like. He's enlarged his understanding by going to the Word and the Holy Spirit and trusting whatever you bring across that bridge, Lord, I can trust you. Enlarge my understanding. Now, the second thing Jesus does, not only does he enlarge our understanding, but he guarantees our hope for the future. He guarantees our hope for the future. If you put all the gospel accounts together, you'll see that Jesus washed their feet and then he told them, start doing this to one another. This is what kingdom leadership looks like. And then he zooms in on Peter. And look what he says to him, Luke chapter 22. Let's read those verses together. "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." Now, right after Jesus said this, right after it, he said, "Simon, you're going to deny me three times. Typical Peter. This is the rock you're talking to? Excuse me? Other guys, maybe? Not me. I will die for you. I'll never do it. Now, let's go back and look at how Jesus is giving a man hope, and he just told him, your bridge is going to cave. You're going to fail. But yet he gave him hope. And look at the hope that he gives us. If you're one of those people, you've caved, you've messed up again this week, listen to this. Simon, Simon, first of all, he knows you by name. Behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. First principle, it'll give you hope. Satan cannot touch you without God's permission. He can't do it. He has demanded permission. Job tells us Satan can't touch a believer without God's permission. 1 John 5:18, he cannot touch you without God's permission. Why would God grant permission? Because he's divine bridge engineer. He knows what you can take. Satan is demanded to sift you. That is like putting wheat in a box and shaking it. He wants to shake you, Peter. And I'm going to give him permission. Look at the next truth. I have prayed for you. Second truth, Jesus never stops praying for you 24/7 ever. Look at the direction of his prayers. I've prayed that your faith may not fail. Peter, I know you. I know your faith. You're going to mess up, but I've still got you. And look at the next thing he says. Once you have turned again, and you will, I'll get your structures back up. Strengthen your brothers. Your failure, I'm actually going to use it to put things in your life that wouldn't be there otherwise. I'm knocking the pride out of you. I'm going to give you a dose of humility, and you'll be stronger than ever after this. He's infusing hope in Peter. Now, if you're one of those people, you've messed up and you've messed up and you need hope, I want to give you a hope grid. Take your pencil out, write these verses down. This is a hope grid for people whose bridges have messed up, which is all of us. I want to give you what Peter himself said. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Listen to Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance imperishable, undefiled. It'll not fade away. It's reserved in heaven for you. And listen to this, verse 5, who are protected by the power of God through faith. Your faith is protected by the power of God. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, from Peter, 1 Peter 5:10. And you, after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Hebrews 12:2, write that one down. Jesus Christ, fix your eyes on him. He is the author and he's the perfecter of your faith. That is so encouraging. I didn't get my faith from me getting it. He gave it to me. And he's going to perfect it. Now I have to cooperate, but he's holding me. He's perfecting it. Even when I fail, he won't let go. Peter, when you've turned, strengthen your brothers. Out of your failures, I'll make you even stronger. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Work out your salvation, for it is God who works in you. So have confidence. Second thing. In my frailty, that my divine engineer does, is he increases my hope for the future. He holds me. Third thing he does, not only does he enlarge my understanding, guarantee my hope for the future, but he brings us tailor-made correction. Tailor-made just for us. Correction. We constantly need it. Just like every bridge is unique and needs inspection and shoring up, he does that to every one of us, and he models it by how he treats Peter. Peter's in the garden with Jesus now. Jesus is very transparent. He says to his disciples, I am grieving to the point of death. That's pretty transparent. And then he says, Peter, James, John, come over here with me. You're a prayer group. Pray. pray. And then Jesus goes over and he begins to seek God. Three times he comes back. And when he comes back, look at what he says. Look on the back of your notes, verse 37. He addresses Peter. Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Three times he's correcting him and appealing to him. Keep praying, keep praying. Peter snores on. Now, did Peter ever learn his lesson? You better believe he did. Jesus rebuilt this bridge. Go through the book of Acts and study Peter. Almost every time he appears, he's a prayer-driven man. He got it. He finally got it. But it was in that failure that he learned it. Jesus is giving him tailor-made correction. Now, at the end of this, they come and arrest Jesus. What does Peter do? After he's had a little snore, now he takes out his sword and whacks off a guy's ear. Jesus cleans up his messes, heals the ear, and then directly rebukes Peter. Look at verse 11. Peter put the sword into the sheath. Jesus tailor-made the correction. On the one hand, wake up, pray. On the other, put it away. It's diverse based on the circumstances. Now, did Peter ever get the second one? Study his life. He never picked up a sword again, ever, to cut off ears or kill people. He picked up another sword, the sword of the word of God. And with that one, he wiped out 3,000 people, brought them into the kingdom with his first sermon. This is Jesus rebuilding this man. His correction was based on the circumstances, and it differed based on what Peter needed. And that's exactly how he treats us. Jesus knows us by name. What I need for correction, you may not need. What you need, I don't need. Here's what I learned about bridges. There are no standard bridges. They don't exist. Every bridge is completely unique. There are no standard children of God. We're all unique. And his correction is tailor-made because he knows the weakness in the structure. And if you'll listen, he will prepare you. And here's what's important. This helps me so much. If I'm a bridge, there's traffic coming I don't want. But Jesus knows what's coming. He knows what's coming across my bridge. And he always prepares me in advance, always, through correction. Where does he get the correction? He uses the word of God. Don't neglect it. He uses people. He uses circumstances. But he's always, always tailor-made correction, shored up, because something's coming across your bridge, and I want you to succeed. Last week, we talked about living in the middle of the circle and adjusting to trials. I should have known it. Oh, the week I've had. You wouldn't believe. My wife lost her cell phone. In the middle of that, we were going to have our phone hooked up to our cable company, which is now a curse word. And after four visits, it's still not fixed. And I'm not going to give a bad report on them, Lord. But I was prepared for that. I can look back and see God knew what was coming. Our son Joshua, we prayed and prayed for him to get a professorship nearby. He landed Baylor, Texas, Waco. Praise God, he's got a job. The Lord prepared me for that. He knows what's coming across your bridge. Are you listening to the tailor-made correction? Let me tell you what a fool is. They don't listen. They act like Peter. You're not washing my feet. I know better. Don't be a fool. Third thing he does, not only does he enlarge our understanding, guarantee our hope, third thing, bring tailor-made correction, here's the last thing he does. You can count on him to know us completely. He knows you completely. Nobody knows you like Jesus. Now, Peter, put him in context. Jesus is arrested. Peter is hiding in the shadows and he's following the crowd. They go to Annas, the high priest's house. Peter goes to the gate. John knows the high priest. He's inside. He gets Peter in. Peter's standing in the courtyard. It's cold. He's warming himself in the fire. Now, here's the condition of Peter's bridge. The undergirdings are weak because he's been prayerless. There's acid rain that's fallen on his weak bridge because he not only has been prayerless, he's been full of himself and unteachable. And now just a little bit of peer pressure from one little slave girl and he caves. And then another one comes and another comes. Three people, Peter's bridge collapses. He's denied the Lord three times. And then the cock crows. And at that instant, Jesus is escorted across the courtyard. Look at the verse. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Oh, man. Can you imagine that look? When he looked at Peter, I believe it was, Peter, you just said you don't even know me. I know you. You know me. It's a look of love. It was a look of saying, Peter, you have been bragging. You would never deny me. You just caved three times. I knew you would. I told you in advance. You need me, Peter. Peter, I know you. I understand you. Peter, your heart's broken. Take that brokenness, and now when you've turned, strengthen your brothers. I'll make you a strong bridge, Peter. I understand you completely. Are you going through something and you think, nobody understands? Nobody. Somebody understands. Your divine engineer knows exactly what's going on your bridge. He's on duty. He is ready to help you, strengthen you, but you have to cooperate. It takes an act of faith. Now, what struck me as I studied this is Jesus went across the courtyard, looked at Peter, and Jesus was a bridge. He was the only perfect bridge that ever existed. He was sinless. And then he took the wrath of God and all of the sin of the world on his bridge, and he caved. He was crushed. And then God resurrected him. And he has an indestructible life. And he is a divine bridge builder who's on duty 24/7. And he'll make us steel bridges that will last if we'll cooperate. So here's our homework. Take these four things. Picture yourself as a bridge all week. And you've got an inspector who's looking at your life. He wants you to succeed, but you have to cooperate. He is there to do four things. Enlarge your understanding. Listen. Don't ignore it. He's there to guarantee your hope for the future. You get that in believing his promises. Don't neglect them. He is there to bring tailor-made correction. Don't push it away and be a fool saying, I don't want to hear that. He's trying to shore you up for what's coming. And he knows you completely. So trust him. So this morning, let's don't waste this. However the Spirit of God spoke directly to you, respond to it. Make a decision. Make a commitment now. I'd like to ask you not only to take those four phrases and review them, but take Hebrews 12:2 and memorize it. Here's what it says. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He is the author and he is the perfecter of your faith. He's always on duty, but you got to put your faith in him. I want to lead us in prayer and let's make some commitments together. This morning, as God spoke to you through his word, he knows the condition of your bridge. He knows those of you who think you're strong and don't need him. Would you just acknowledge that today and repent of that foolishness? You know, those of you who feel like you've caved and you want to quit, would you fix your eyes on Jesus? He's rebuilding you. It's not over. Some of you aren't even in the kingdom yet. And so you've never embraced Jesus as your divine engineer. Today, would you invite him to forgive you, to cleanse you, and begin to reform your life? Would you invite him to be your Savior right now? This morning, Lord, I pray that you would take these decisions and that you would seal them in our hearts and that you would build us as a church into a bridge that will bring your kingdom to this neighborhood and this community and the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.